Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I look at his versatility, his length, his ability to play in all the positions in the secondary, and I believe he's a plug-and-play starter at so many spots for the Buffalo Bills. And if you go back to the root of their problem in the AFC Championship, it wasn't that they got stopped on a two-point conversion on a tush-push or stopped on a fourth and one on a tush-push. It's the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, that clearly couldn't score on anybody, as we saw the next week, were able to put up 32 points. Jalen Ramsey becomes an immediate upgrade at so many positions in that secondary, and it is time for Josh Allen to get over the hump. In order to do that, that defense needs the ball.
Ryan Clark of ESPN, good morning. It's a beautiful morning. It's going to be a beautiful day. 50s and sunny, not a cloud in the sky. I will be taking advantage. You will find me on a golf course somewhere this afternoon. Tomorrow it's going to be 70, but rainy, I think. Tomorrow.
So we're kind of back.
Yeah, next week is like mid-50s and sun all week long, at least as of now.
Yesterday was the weird one.
Yesterday was weird.
Tuesday night into Wednesday, that was the weird part. There was your dip.
So slowly but surely, we are getting there. Earlier in the week, I saw a car in our parking lot with snow on it. So
yeah,
we've also had that too. Yeah. Anyways, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today, back tomorrow. Derek is in today with us, and Evan producing Owen Parker as well, of course. The chat is hanging out. We'll check in with the chat.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit later on this
morning. I've got something to say to the chat.
How about Clark, though, there? I want to get to this draft conversation about the Bills' needs that aren't necessarily the positions. Ramsey. We've not really spent time on Ramsey and the Bills this week. Jalen Ramsey, who's going to get traded from the Dolphins. He might get, I don't know if they can cut him, but.
Not with that contract.
When you announce that we're parting ways, you lost all leverage in the trade market. So can you even trade him now? And right, can you cut him? It goes back to Sal's point earlier. Like, do they even know what their plan is? They're just kind of going by the, flying by the seat of their pants. So what about Ramsey for the Bills?
No.
He, no doubt, would be a big upgrade at corner number two. But what you would be doing to get that upgrade, to me, is not worth it. Because he is not the best corner in football anymore. I mean, he still is very good. He's still a very good corner. But I've got to pay him. Spotrac had this the other day. $21 million. The team acquiring him is on the hook for $21 million each of the next 3 seasons.
You can't afford
it. And then $24 million in the 4th year. I think you can get out of it then. And he's 30 years old. At a position that we have seen with our own eyes with Rasul Douglas, that, man, you turn 30 and it can happen like that, where you just don't have it.
The drop is fast and fierce typically for corners. You can't afford him. You cannot afford the price that he wants. Even if the Dolphins were to, say, part ways with him and he just becomes a free agent, you can't afford it. As a, the Bills would be too cap-strapped to afford a player like Jalen Ramsey. And I do believe that that is the major reason I'm saying it, because, yeah, you're right. They do need an upgrade at corner two. Ramsey would give that to him. So, Ryan Clark, right idea, wrong name.
Yeah, so his cap hit this year for Miami, $16 million if the Dolphins were to keep him. If they were to cut him, and that's with a post-June 1 release, he'd cost them $30 million. So they'd be paying an additional $14 million to not have him on the team this year. And that's not to speak for the $18 million dead cap hit they'd have to take on next year. If they trade him, and this is why I think it'd have to be a trade, which is why Chris Greer announcing that we're parting the plant ways, like, it's just, he's, I don't think he's a very good GM. I never really thought he was a great GM. I did respect his wanting to go after the Bills. And thinking, I'm in a window now where our team's pretty good. I'm going all in. And I'm going to try to compete with the Bills. And it didn't work. You didn't get it done. But there's just sloppiness sometimes with them. You announced that you want to part ways. You just lost all leverage to trade him. Trading him's the only thing you could do. Because it's $10 million this year if you trade him. So you actually save $6 million. And then next year you still have to take on that $18 million. But it's either keep him on the roster or trade him. And good luck getting anything now.
I think that all they want is for just this to year get to get cap relief and to get him out of there. And at that point, you take a bag of quarters at this point.
Isn't that weird, too? This is another point Sal made. They're middling it. What do they want to do? Do they want to compete this year? Because your cap...
They do, because the general manager said.
Then why aren't you keeping Jalen Ramsey?
I don't... it's because Chris Greer is a bad general manager, and I hope he stays in Miami forever.
Like, why aren't you keeping Jalen Ramsey if you are trying to compete this year? It doesn't really even help you that much on the cap to get rid of him now. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You've already eaten a $4 million signing bonus because you waited this long.
Yep.
I guess Ramsey could have asked for a trade, but wouldn't that be out there when the Dolphins have put that out there in the media? It's just a weird situation. And the player is still good, but he's at an age where I don't want any part of it. And that's not to speak for, I mean, Bill Saints hate him, right?
Yeah.
He called Josh Allen trash as a rookie. And, when Diggs got in his face against LA when he caught a touchdown over him? Gabe Davis caught a touchdown, I think, over him, and Diggs ran over to get in his face. I don't remember exactly.
Either way, he called Josh Allen trash and has since personally he's been walloped by the Bills.
Oh, he's terrible against in particular. The Bills. Yeah, they would go after him.
Yeah, including the Rams opening season game where Diggs torches him.
Right. Maybe it was Diggs that caught the touchdown on him.
Well,
and then
you're talking about both Rams games. The one that you're mentioning about Gabe Davis, that was in Buffalo. And then the Rams opening one was on the road where Davis catches the bomb, and he's got words for him after.
Right. Yeah. Good player. Just, I don't see a path.
No.
I don't see a
path
at all.
There's no realistic path for that, and it's the right idea. The Bills do need to upgrade at corner, too.
That gets to, so I wanted to get to this a little bit about not their positional needs, because no one would dispute the corner, too, is a huge need. And their biggest need, right?
Right.
You're a defensive tackle guy, but even you
I'm
would
a
say
D-tackle
corner.
Guy, but I would think that corner is probably a smarter call in round one.
Yeah. Specifically, what do we want them to be better at corner? Because last year, they did not have a great ability to play man coverage. And 3 years ago, they wanted to be better at it. I'm going to assume that, given that they drafted Kyrie Elam, who was a man corner in college and was very good at it. And even in limited spots that he played for the Bills, his man coverage numbers were pretty good, except for three games. And one of them was the last game you saw where he was abysmal. So, wasn't able to do it consistently, never got on the field, and you never got the fruits of that idea of we're going to be better covering in man. Because for the most part, the Bills have been a zone team, and you kind of know what you're going to get. They're going to back up two safeties, and you're not really going to see a lot of, okay, we're just going to ISO our corner here because he can cover you. They don't often do that. Do they want to be better at that? Do they want to be more well-versed? Is the corner they draft going to be somebody that is in the name of not just filling their corner two need, but when we want to man up the Chiefs or man up, you know, the Bengals, and we're going up against some good receivers, that we've got a guy that can stick with them. I think Benford's a good man corner. I think he's an elite zone corner, right? I feel like that's pretty
safe
to say.
That's probably the safest assessment that you can make,
Taron Johnson's probably a little bit better in zone than he is in man, too. And the other guy they've had on the other side has really never been good in man situations, right? Dane Jackson, no. Not good at all. In fact, he did a lot of that in Carolina last year, way more than he ever did with the Bills. And it's probably why it went so horribly wrong for him. Levi Wallace, never somebody you wanted to man up.
He did not have the speed to man up.
No. Right. Like these plug-and-play corners that have actually done reasonably well for the Bills when pressed into duty, it was never because they were manning guys up. That is what is intriguing to me about not just if the Bills draft a corner, it's what type of corner do they draft and what's the skill set? Because they've not ever, I don't think they've ever had, you correct me if I'm wrong, if there's a spot that I'm missing in this McDermott era, where they've had two corners that you feel comfortable about both of them when they're having to man up a receiver.
I would say back when they had Christian Benford beating Kyir Elam initially out for the job, and Benford was playing opposite Tre'Davious White to start the season.
Trey White was hurt, though. Right?
No, the one where he starts the season.
The one where he comes back and he gets hurt. He comes in week three.
I think it was three or four,
against Miami.
And then we were already back to, all right, we're back to Benford Elam. And then the Bills said, no, hold your horses. Here's Rasul Douglas.
Isn't that kind of the point, though?
Yeah.
They had it once. It lasted 3 games.
Jeez. Yeah.
That's the start of 2023.
Yep.
And that is, so Trey White returns the previous year, and it was okay, but it wasn't great. It started to track up, right?
He's finally getting back to speed from the Achilles injury.
Then it was training camp, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
And then week one and two, it's like, oh yeah, he's kind of back.
He's back.
And then he gets
hurt.
Look
out. Yeah, and then he gets hurt and everyone's
covered. It was week four, by the way, you're right. Covered Tyreek Hill in that game.
Yes.
Kept him in check, as the Bills often do to Tyreek Hill.
Clamped him.
Not saying he was like manning him up, ISO coverage, but they did a good job on him, and then he got hurt.
Yep.
And that was it.
They have not really had that.
They've not really had that, and that could be part of the reason why.
We had it for 3.5 games.
Yeah. That could be part of the reason why they've been so heavy zone for all these years. I mean, they control what their personnel is, but they've not shown that. Except for the Elam pick. Again, that is the one time they really showed a desire. It's like, we want to be better at this because we're drafting a guy that this is the thing he did in Florida. And this is the thing that probably got him drafted in the first round. Not just the Bills. I mean, he probably would have gone first round, early second round if the Bills hadn't picked him. So, man coverage. What else? We've talked about third down defense.
Third down defense, a little bit more with run support is something that you want to look at. And I would say, honestly, I would love more of a playmaking safety, a player that can help.
Kind of a ball hawk?
A perfect ball hawk. The Micah Hyde replacement, so to say. And that is something that this team desperately needs after I saw one season without him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have effectively, Hamlin and Rapp are the same player. Rapp is a better version of Hamlin, but he's a box safety at the end of the day on another team.
Yeah. It's a
Cole
big...
Cole Bishop, I need to see a step from, but also, say that Malachi Starks is available there at pick 30. You're telling me that I can go with a future pairing of Malachi Starks and Cole Bishop, and it's a long-term, four-year investment on the position. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about safety for years.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a luxury pick, but it's one that you could check off the position, check off certain aspects of the game.
Yeah.
Where man coverage improves because a safety can actually play a little bit more man coverage. You also have a ball hawking player, and you then get the opportunity to do a little bit more versatile with the defense on the back end.
And that might end up being the theme of their offseason on defense. If they might be an if. I don't think Michael Hoyt does that on his own.
No.
Like he's a significant signing, decent money, and looks like a good player. Good player, good depth. He's going to do a million different things. Again, if you're remembering when they signed him, he played defensive tackle, defensive end was probably the most. He played linebacker. He played slot corner a couple of times. That video clip that we all saw after they signed him of him covering DK Metcalf in the slot and covering him well and knocking the ball away. So Michael Hoyt is someone they could get crafty with. right? Yes. They could do different things with. But I don't think if just bringing in one guy like that is, oh, you know what they did this offseason? Mm-hmm. They got more multidimensional. They got more versatile. Just one guy doesn't do that for me.
No.
But even a second guy, and that would, isn't that have to be safety?
Doesn't
that have to be safety?
I mean, it does have to be safety, and it's got to be Starks or Emenwori.
Yeah, I guess Sal brought up the name Darian Porter, right?
Yeah.
Who, maybe that could do it, because he's the size where at 6'4", 200 pounds corner, you might think there's different things they could do with him. But safety would be the one, because that would be the only explanation for why'd you do this? Why'd you draft a safety? First or second round?
You have needs at corner and you have needs on the defensive line. Why'd you draft a safety? Well, for one, he's the best player available, but two, contextually, you're able to do more with your defense.
That would be the hunt. You would hear that explanation every single day if they make a big investment in safety.
Especially if it was an athletic profile like Emenwori.
Right. Emenwori, who, like a lot of people like that idea.
Starks. At this point, I'm starting to see more of Starks being available, like in mock drafts. Like people are putting out that, like he's hanging around in the late 20s, 30s now, and that is because, well, people are loving Emenwori, but also safety is not very highly drafted.
Yep.
But the reason I say that the Bills could be okay with this is that cliff is massive afterwards of those two players, and their needs. This class is so deep, you're getting a starter in round two, in round three, even into round four.
Yeah.
You're getting a starter.
The other thing...
It's kind of fortunate for them.
Yeah. The other thing that I obviously want to mention here about, like, what are the certain things the Bills can get better at? They need to get better at. They'd like to get better at. I'm sure they want to get better downfield on offense. And all their actions and their words so far read like that. They talked about McDermott more so, I think Bean though a little bit too, after the year about, you know, more explosive plays and speed down the field being a little bit better. And their visits are all these receivers that are day three guys mostly and a couple day two guys that are all fast. And it really is the one skill set you can just look at their receiver room and see, oh yeah, they don't really have that. Especially someone that does it from the perimeter. The Bills have 1,101 vacated snaps at wide receiver. And who are those vacated snaps from? Most of them are from Mac Hollins.
Most of them are Mac Hollins.
A chunk of them are from Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. And then a very eensy-beensy piece of that is from Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Oh, right.
All three of those players played where? On the perimeter. All three of those guys were on the outside. All of those snaps, or at least most of those snaps, because those guys would have played in the slot a little bit, all those snaps are from the outside. And what was Hollins? What did Hollins think of some of his plays from this past season? What were they? He wasn't open, but it's the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs.
Where he wins the deep ball.
Deep ball. It's the... The play he makes against, what's the long ball he makes in the middle of the year? Is that Detroit? He has a catch of the long ball against Detroit where he gets to the sidelines, like right before halftime. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And on a negative sense, Allen in Houston chucking the ball to him deep twice when they're backed up on their own 2-yard line. What was Cooper brought in for? Same type of thing.
Outside,
downfield. He made that great catch against the Jets. That was on the perimeter, down the field, and we know what MVS was supposed to be. It didn't happen, but he was supposed to be outside perimeter receiver. Three guys.
He was supposed to be your speed guy, too.
Right. Three guys that all, in a way, kind of held the same role, that right now, they have one guy, I think, that replaces it, and it's Josh Palmer. But Josh Palmer's not playing 1,100 snaps. If you look at his average for his career, like it would be aggressive to say he'll play 600. This year for the Bills. Last year, that would have led them. Actually, sorry, that would have been second. I think Hollins played 700. But, like, 600 for Palmer, given his career, I got, like, 400, 500 snaps left over for a receiver. And is all of that just coming from, like, Tyrell Shavers and then a couple hundred more for Curtis Samuel?
No, they're going to add somebody, and they've hinted at that. They've tipped their hand.
Yeah.
They're going to add somebody. The question is when.
And what's the value of that? Because... It's one thing to say, like, well, they need to be better at this. I could hear someone in their car driving right now going, they were the number two scoring team in the league last year. They set the franchise record in touchdowns. They did. But there's going to be a counterpunch to Joe Brady's offense. Teams are going to watch, are studying it all summer.
Not to mention, you can't go year to year expecting the same thing from the same roster. Variation happens within sports. So why not try to get better at something that you can get better at, and then you still can be that high-scoring offense because you're doing it in different ways better.
This is a criticism of the Dolphins. The Dolphins, they broke the sport for half a year, and they all the speed and the pre-snap motion and whatnot. And one criticism I remember hearing, I think Stephen Ruiz, I think from The Ringer, was the one who was saying this last year, that they got to come up with something new. Like, the league figured it out a little bit. You can't stop it totally, but they know now what limits that Dolphins offense, and McDaniel's got to have a counterpunch. And he didn't really have one. Now, he might be limited because his quarterback can only do so much.
I think it's his roster that limits him, too.
That, too. But now apply that same logic to the Bills. It's, okay, the league is probably going to figure out a little bit, and if they do that, you got to have a counterpunch ready to go. And what will that be for Joe Brady? The only element they can really be better at is that downfield passing game. They could mix up how they run the ball. I'm sure they could use Shakir in different ways if they really want to. But the obvious thing that you would want to employ as your counterpunch would be, hey, defense that now is playing at the line of scrimmage because they think we're just going to run screens and they don't think we have receivers and get open down the field. Even if it's just like a fourth-round guy that gives you a little bit of respect.
Even to counter what Sal has been saying.
And play too high safety, which they didn't do against the Bills.
Random Luther Burden changes the discussion so much.
And Luther Burden does it a lot. Yeah. Luther Burden is a player that I'd be very interested to see how Brady would use him. Because he didn't really have a Luther Burden last year.
There doesn't seem to be a lot schematically for the boundary receiver. But if you add a talent like that,
especially a man coverage beating boundary receiver.
And if you add a talent like that, you can add wrinkles to the game.
Yep. 803-0550 is the phone number if you got a thought on not a position, but maybe a certain specific situational thing the Bills could be better at as a need going into the draft. We will talk a little James Bradberry. He reportedly was on a visit with the Bills yesterday. Veteran corner, second team all pro in 2022. What does he have left in the tank if he is to sign with the Bills? My brother Lou DiBiase, Locked On Eagles. He'll join the show coming up next. I'll get his thoughts on the draft, too, because he's very dialed in on that as well. And your phone calls, 803-0550, the number. It's Jeremy and Joe. Reminder, today, the pre-draft special for Chopin the Bulldog all day long. Sal will be on at 4, Jeremy 4:30, Nate at 5. I'll be along at 6 o'clock. We'll have mock draft stuff, of course, along the way and look at some of the odds for what players could go where. We did a little of that earlier with especially the top 7 picks. It's all brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today for excellent deals on the entire Honda lineup, including the all-new Honda Passport.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
. 2023 Luther Burden tape is like a top 10 player in this draft. Obviously, he fell off, and even in addition to falling off, some of the sort of biggest concerns people have are on-field attitude. Like, did he kind of give up, right? Did he check out of these games mentally? Did he kind of bail on things when it got tough? And is that a concern for teams, you know, going forward? Because as a dynamic playmaker, Luther Burden has abilities that not many receivers in this draft have.
Sam Monson, the Check the Mic podcast on Luther Burden. Favorite of mine, favorite of Derek's, favorite of Jeremy, favorite of everybody's.
He's a good player.
Everyone likes Luther Burden.
He's a good player. You like good players.
By the way, some context added, though. Although there is a strong belief, Greg Cosell, I think, talked about this on our station, One Bills Live, this week, that he has the size and the speed and the route running, especially, really, the ability to beat man coverage is one good tell of this. He can play on the outside, but he played 80% in the slot last year and 70% in the slot the year before that. So you're seeing wins, though, when in that 20 to 30% that he is going to the boundary. And as we know here, there aren't any slot snaps available. Like Shakir and Samuel and Kincaid, even when he bounces out to that spot.
Even Coleman will probably get a couple.
Sure. He probably should be in the slot more than he isn't. It's only on the perimeter. So Burden, interesting for that because he hasn't done it a ton, but the belief is that he would be able to. Brandon Ayuk is a good comparison to this. Ayuk didn't do it a lot in college, and then he got to San Francisco, and he's just amazing at it until he got hurt.
Exactly.
803-0550 is the phone number. On the draft, we are 7 days out. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. Lou DiBiase, my brother now on the Western Hotline. Locked on Eagles, who was hearing all of that. Are you a Burden guy like us?
Yeah, I mean, I don't love this receiver class for the Bills at 30. I wouldn't hate it. I just think they need to take a swing. Even if he's not the perfect player that plays mostly in the slot, they just need to take a receiver early on. I think they have to take another swing. Mm. And so I don't hate Burden at that value, but I don't overall love this class. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, round two, all their visits are day two, day three guys. So I would think maybe second round at the earliest. They were in on Isaiah Bond, but now the sexual assault case, we'll see what happens there. So the reason we got Lou on, though, is the visit this week, James Bradberry. We've been talking so much about corner and mostly for the draft and whether Rasul Douglas would come back. Instead, not that he signed yet, it's Bradberry on a visit, and I texted Lou about this. I read that on the air yesterday. You are not a believer that this player can make much of an impact anymore.
No, I think James Bradbury's best days are behind him. He was an All-Pro just a few seasons ago in 2022 when the Eagles made Super Bowl 57. He was one of their best players on defense, was a steal of a one-year signing, but then the guy fell off big time. They gave him an extension in 2023, and he already wasn't a speed corner. One mostly playing off-zone coverage, more technically sound. It was savvy, a good player on the ball, but wasn't really a fast corner. And then he lost another step in 2023. And when you're a corner, if you lose that kind of step, even if it's like by 0.5 seconds, right, it's that can be everything. And he was getting just eaten alive that year. And last year, he pretty much was kept on the bench inactive all year with a pretty much, I think, it was a phantom injury. He was pretty much like a Udonis Haslam type player coach, if you will, for NBA fans out there. So I don't think, I mean, he has experience with Sean McDermott in Carolina, but outside of like veteran depth for like leadership, I just don't think this is a guy you can rely on the field anymore if you're trying to win a championship.
Yeah, I was thinking about Douglas when I saw this at first. Like, why, if you are intent on bringing in another veteran corner, they already brought Dane Jackson back as one of those guys, and the perception is they'll draft a corner early. Why Bradbury and not Douglas? But I would imagine that's got to be money, right? Because even though Douglas took a step back last year, from what I'm hearing from you, right now Douglas is a far better player.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a big fan of Rasul Douglas since the Eagles drafted him in 2017. But I think like Bradbury, I wonder if the league's a little bit concerned. The guy's he's 30 years old already, but yeah. He's getting older. He's not a speed corner either, so you wonder if that drop-off will be quicker for Rasul than it will be for other corners. But he's just so good on the ball, and I know he had a kind of an off year last year, but I just think he was really good in 2023. So comparatively speaking, if you had to take a chance on Bradbury or Rasul, even if it's for more money, I'd go Douglas. And especially with his market maybe dying out a little bit, you know, he's out there. Asante Samuel Jr. is still out on the open market. Like, there's still some names out at cornerback in free agency that if you don't get what you want in the draft, those players, their market actually might kick back up, not going to lie, in a couple of weeks, depending on what teams do in the draft. So, but if the money is right and it's not too expensive, I would just bring Rasul back. I still think he would be enough. I really don't think Bradbury is somebody that can start in the NFL level anymore. The Eagles were actually trying him at safety last summer. So I just don't think he's a starting outside corner anymore.
And I do not think the Bills will be trying him at safety this year.
Yeah.
For what they're for what they're going for. You never know.
Exactly.
Last thing on Bradbury. How good was he when he was at his peak? Because that was only a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. He was incredible. I thought he was better than Darius Slay in 2022. Like, that defense was an all-time unit for the Eagles in the franchise's history. And Bradbury was one of the best players, first-team All-Pro. The thing with him is I think he fit perfectly in that Jonathan Gannon defense. But, again, like, it was a one-year deal. It was a great value signing. Howie Roseman kind of paid a guy for what he did rather than what he was going to do, and the drop-off came really quick. You could tell, like, from the start of 2023 that he just wasn't the same player. But in 2022, yeah, he was one of the best cornerbacks in football. That was a steal, and they got him in May. So maybe the Bills turn around and get a corner like that in the spring after the draft, and they end up being a steal like that. I really think Rasul Douglas or Asante Samuel are worth a flyer, at least for what their market is at this point.
Lou DiBiase joining us here on the West Her Hotline, Locked On Eagles. Lou, stop liking the guys I like for the NFL draft. I just saw that one of your last tweets was about Darius Alexander, and that is a huge
a Bills
fan
guy
of mine. Yeah. I like Darius Alexander. You were on Nick Amonwori for a while, and I'm like, stop it, Louie. when it comes down to it, though, with the Eagles running it back after winning the Super Bowl, what are some of the biggest needs that Philadelphia needs to replenish heading in for a title defense?
Yeah, well, the good thing for you, Derek, the Bills are picking two spots ahead of the Eagles, so you will get your pick of those guys if you want them. But
unless they trade up.
Unless they trade up, which they normally do the majority of the years. I think for the Eagles, it's the most unpredictable draft. Like, heading in, I just no idea what they're going to do. It's the most unpredictable, I'd say, since the last Super Bowl win. Heading into the 2018 draft, when they traded down from 32 with the Ravens, they took Lamar Jackson with that pick. The Eagles ended up getting Dallas Goedert in round two, so it worked out. But it's kind of like that this year. Their roster is so complete, short-term and long-term, that they could kind of do whatever they want. I would say the biggest holes immediately are safety. If Malachi Starks or Nick Amonwori fell down the board, I would love to get my hands on one of those prospects or even a small trade-up for one of the two. I do like Amonwori a little bit better just based on the upside. I would also say the trenches, they, I think, probably want an upgrade at right guard who could potentially swing over to right tackle when Lane Johnson retires. Also a pass rusher, they lost Josh Sweat and Milton Williams in free agency. So I'd guess, like, gun to my head, three positions of the three, they would probably most likely go pass rusher, offensive lineman, or safety. But if you told me they turned around and took another corner or took a tight end, you know, if Colson Loveland falls down the board, I could totally see them doing that too, because Dallas Goedert right now, it looks like he's on the trade block. So they can pretty much do whatever they want. I just don't think they're going to take a running back. That's the only position I'll say they just will not take.
Yeah. What we need here is if team trade down wants to do something here, what we need is the Bills to trade down to the Eagles spot so that Philly can take something that the Chiefs are about to take in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any crossover here, though.
And if the Eagles try to get in front of Kansas City, I'd imagine it would be for an interior offensive lineman, like if Gray Zabel fell down the board from North Dakota State.
All right.
I think for the Eagles, though, if they're going to trade up, it's because a pass rusher fell. It's like, oh my gosh, James Pierce is available at 26. We need to get ahead of Baltimore to grab him, or Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, who's my favorite defensive tackle outside of after Mason Graham and on day one. I think more likely than not they would trade up for a pass rusher. If they're trying to get ahead of Kansas City, though, I think it'd be for a lineman on offense.
All right, that's my new favorite idea. The Chiefs, the Bills know there's a center that the Chiefs love, and the Eagles think he can play center or guard, whatever. And like, hey, calls Howie Roseman. Do you want this guy? We'll just give them to you.
Let's make a deal.
Yeah, we'll make a deal. You give us like a fifth in exchange. And
they don't have too many of those.
We stop Kansas City from getting what they want.
Yeah, exactly. I do think it'll be interesting to see like quarterback needy teams too that you're going to have to compete with for a trade up, because I really do think Jalen Milroe's going day one. I don't think not that it's everything that he accepted his invite to Green Bay, but he's got to imagine he's got a good shot of being a day one pick, right? And there's teams that are last second, you know, working him out. And I think a team might want to come back in for that fifth year option and just take a chance on him. Like a team that doesn't, you know, Cleveland that can come back in, or the Giants, somebody that doesn't take one early on. I think Jackson Dart and Milroe might end up going on day one. So if you're going to trade up, though, the tough part is you might have to compete with quarterback needy teams, and they're going to be just naturally willing to spend more.
Yeah. I mean, for me, that's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, who has been rumored to love him, they don't have Aaron Rodgers right now, and maybe that's starting to lean towards he doesn't sign there. We'll see. Right now, they don't have anything, and if they're telling Milroe they love him, what's the pick they're using? Because they pick at 21, and then they don't pick again until 83. End of the third round. They don't have a second. So are you getting Milroe that late in the third round? I think that's very unlikely. I wonder if Pittsburgh has told him that if you're there at 21, we're taking you.
I will say, though, if you're Pittsburgh and you're expecting Jalen Milroe to be your answer day one this year, good luck. I mean, that guy, the upside is crazy. I mean, his ceiling, he's to me the most explosive mobile quarterback I've seen coming out of a draft since Lamar in 2018, and his arm talent is ridiculous. But that guy is so far behind when it comes to like pocket progressions, accuracy, mechanics too. I think he needs some seasoning. If I were them, they should still make sure they get an Aaron Rodgers, or maybe they bring in like a Kirk Cousins last second. But if they think Milroe's coming in starting day one, I think you might have like an Anthony Richardson situation on your hand. I think he definitely needs some more seasoning.
All right. Lou DiBiase, Locked On Eagles. Buffalo versus Philadelphia tonight, by the way.
Wrong
sport. That's right.
Yeah. Want to go?
Absolutely not.
It's fan appreciation night, Lou.
Let's talk bobbleheads. We'll get him. We'll get him to go.
We'll bully him.
All right. Thanks, Lou.
Thanks, guys.
Lou DiBiase. All right. He's a no on James Bradberry. And the man who's watched him play for the last like 3 years, he's like, no, you don't want this.
And it makes sense considering where he is now. It makes sense that he's not signed for a reason.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? When the Bills brought Josh Norman back.
Mm-hmm.
Or back, sorry, like twice.
They brought in Josh Norman twice.
Twice. That's right,
that second time after the stiff arm.
Oh, who's the other older corner? The Bills have done this a couple times. Like former all-pro level corner that's like way at the end.
EJ Gaines?
He wasn't that old,
and he wasn't an all-pro.
No, Xavier Rhodes.
Oh, that's right.
Xavier Rhodes, I'm pulling him up right now. He played two games for the Bills, started one of them.
And he was mostly practice squad for the second half of the year.
Yeah.
So that's right.
That's Xavier Rhodes. That's to me what like Bradbury's.
It's not an answer. Sal said.
So it's going to be a rookie. Like I would bet. Would you not bet heavily right now that the day one starter opposite of Christian Benford right now is going to be a rookie?
I wouldn't count out Dayton Jackson. I really wouldn't.
I think.
Maybe it's a
It wouldn't be Bradbury for me, although I guess if they sign Bradbury, this precludes them probably from signing another one. I would say a free agent TBD is more likely right now than Dane Jackson.
I think.
Like whether that's Douglas coming back or Stephon Gilmore coming back or something.
I think it has to do with Bradbury's going to be reactionary. If they don't get a corner in the draft that they like and they can feel like they'll start, Bradbury is the guy. And something Sal said. You do have to take 90 bodies to camp.
Yep. But typically, not always. You're right. Sometimes it's a veteran guy.
Yeah, sometimes
usually
it's a veteran
guy. Usually the bodies, 75 through 90, are like young guys, undrafted free agents. But yeah, you're right. Once
sometimes
in a while,
you get a veteran that wants to get himself a roster spot.
To see what he's got left.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the phone number. More on the draft coming up at 9 with Eric Edholm of NFL.com. If you've got a thought, 803-0550 is the phone number. The Sabres and the Flyers tonight. First 15,000 fans. Alex Tuck bobblehead giveaway tonight. Pick of the week when we come back. So stay tuned. This is WGR.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run. Everything baseball, all season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, look, Gary Bettman's on ESPN right now. I'm sure that's a great listen.
right? I don't know what else you can say other than that.
We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week as we enter the Stanley Cup playoffs. So Rory McIlroy wins the Masters, and inevitably that is one athlete that you were supposed to win, and you weren't doing it. You were choking while doing it. So he was the lightning rod for that. Well, he wins. And we talked about who's the next guy for that. Who's got to win? You're supposed to win, and you haven't done it yet. And we talked about Allen. Now, the difference between Josh Allen and Rory is Rory lost by kind of choking himself.
Right.
And Allen hasn't done that. Allen hasn't won, but a lot of these are more about other things, right? The other guy that, all right, it's time for you to win. We might not be there yet, but we'll get there with McDavid.
I think we'll get there with McDavid. Zach and I had this discussion.
Because all-time greats in the NHL, they win. All of them win.
Yeah.
Except for, Joe Thornton.
Zach Jones and I had this discussion because you guys talked about legacy on Monday.
Yeah, that's
and we followed it up with that. And he mentioned McDavid, and I went to Austin Matthews.
That's a good one, too.
Austin Matthews.
That's a good one, too.
The way that he is scoring at the clip that he does, he's going to be someone that years from now we're going to start considering, okay, where is he on track versus Ovi?
Mm-hmm.
But that said, you have one playoff series win in your entire career. McDavid has at least gotten to the Cup final, willed his team to a Game 7 against Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's at least there. Matthews, you've won one playoff series.
Yeah, it's time to win. McDavid's been to Game 7 of the finals. Matthews, start getting close at least.
And that's something also the Four Nations tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Where Zach and I discussed who needs to have that moment, and we both said McDavid and Matthews.
Yeah.
So it is very much becoming Austin Matthews. It's time to do something or get off the pot.
Time for the pick of the week. This week's pick of the week at Riverfront Auto Sales, Turning Heads. Check out this sleek 2019 Chevy Camaro 1LT convertible. Bold design, top-down freedom, powerful performance, ride is built to thrill, and priced to move fast. Whether you're cruising the boulevard or surfing the waterfront, hurry up, test drive this 2019 Camaro convertible today before somebody else drops the top. Riverfront Auto Sales, call 716-886-1626 or online riverfrontautosales.com. I'm going to make the pick of the week the first night of the Stanley Cup playoffs on Saturday night. So far, we only know two of the games. It's going to be Blues at Jets, so Winnipeg at home at 6 o'clock Saturday, and then Colorado at Dallas, 8:30. The Stars, for some reason, played Jason Robertson last night and he got hurt. So, big loss for them. And he's, I think, going to miss time. He's going to miss the start of the series. But
jeez.
First night of the Stanley Cup playoffs is always incredible, and we get it in 2 days. Stay tuned. Eric Edholm from NFL.com on the draft as we're 1 week out coming back here on WGR.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.